Your fruit must endure. And indeed, today in the life of the Church, we honor a saint whose fruit truly will endure, and we know full well that that fruit will endure until the end of time. For upon raising him to the sacred altars of Holy Mother Church, he was declared by one pope to be the patron of our difficult age and our troubled times, that is, Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe. He was born in 1894, grew up of pious parents, and ultimately would pay the greatest price that a soul can pay to Almighty God by giving his life up as a martyr of charity in the concentration camps at Auschwitz during the reign of the Nazis during World War II. And so as Saint Maximilian grew up, he became profoundly aware of a great war that was going on, in which World War II was only a manifestation and not the culmination. It was simply one battle that was fought in human history for the hearts of men. And so Saint Maximilian knew this war was for the hearts of men, and he came up with a unique gift that he has bequeathed to the Church in order that it may be used until the end of time. For he emphasized, like no other saint, the role of the Immaculate Mediatrix of all grace in the life of the soul and in the life of the Church. And indeed, he did everything by turning to the Mother. Indeed, when St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, who was a rather precocious young boy, was admonished with his mother with a clear admonition when she said, "Raymond, I fear what might come of you," St. Maximilian, knowing full well that his mother gave him a very stern rebuke, and indeed was saying, if he continued on his precocious course, he one day perhaps would lose his soul. And so he turned to the Mother of God in prayer, and there received a great honor and a great gift, for she would come to him during that time of his prayer and ultimately come to him with two crowns, one white and one red, and ask Saint Maximilian if he would accept one of them. Our Lady knew full well that a precocious boy would not accept one, but rather, as Saint Maximilian responded, he said that he would accept both from her. And so he truly would live his life under the white crown of purity, and ultimately pay that price by which he would shed his blood rather than to deny his faith. And indeed, blessed John Paul II would receive much flack from those even within the Church when he canonized Saint Maximilian as a martyr of charity. But as he rightly pointed out, while it was not a direct order that Saint Maximilian was sent to the starvation bunker for his faith, it was the whole of the Nazi regime to rail itself against religion, and most especially against the true religion. Indeed, in the concentration camps was a standing order, for there was an electric fence around most of them, but it was not set at a lethal level. It was set at a level that would paralyze a man and keep him there, and the standing order was, when they heard a sacrilege or a blasphemy pass from the lips of the man stuck in the fence, they were to execute him with a bullet to the head immediately. And so the very design of the concentration camps was ultimately to get man to die of despair. And so it was not so much a specific event, but rather the Nazis were a whole culture arrayed against Christ. And indeed, Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe would see this very clearly as a young seminarian, when the forces of evil, that is, the Freemasons, would go and process in the very Vatican itself against Holy Mother Church, and most especially against the reigning pontiffs of the time, that is, Pope St. Pius X and Pope Benedict XV. Indeed, being so bold as to one time carrying an image of St. Michael the Archangel having his head crushed by the infernal enemy of souls, Lucifer himself. this would inspire holy zeal in the soul of Saint Maximilian. And so, on the very eve of Our Lady's final apparition at Fatima, Saint Maximilian would lay down the rules and the rules for what would be called the Militia of the Immaculate, which would be a perfect response to Our Lady's call at Fatima, even though at the time Saint Maximilian was not aware, because he was aware of one thing. Our Lady can operate and function throughout this whole world, and she arranges her forces against evil in a way that we often don't perceive, but ultimately hindsight can truly give us the picture. And so Saint Maximilian would be inspired by Our Lady to formulate the Militia of the Immaculate, which would be the perfect response to the call of Our Lady at Fatima. And indeed, the very event that inspired Saint Maximilian would be one of the core messages Our Lady gave at Fatima, that the Pope would have much to suffer. And at that very time, Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe was witnessing in the concrete that suffering that the Vicar of Christ would have to endure at the hands of his enemies. And so Saint Maximilian sought not the destruction and the death of the enemy, but rather their conversion. And so he would be inspired to strive for a way, and ultimately that way would be manifested through the whole of his apostolic life. For he would seek permission and be granted permission to form what was known as Neopokalanov, or a city of the Immaculate, or more properly, a town of the Immaculate, in which everything was done for the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, that is, done prayerfully and in reparation for sins. And Saint Maximilian would labor tirelessly himself in order that the word, especially the word of the Immaculate, would be spread to all corners of the world. And so they would publish many articles, many magazines, and many things, always teaching the faith with charity, and indeed, so much so that Pope Paul VI would call him the clairvoyant, the anticipator of the great council of our time, the Second Vatican Council, which again calls for the re-evangelization of the world. And so Saint Maximilian, before this prophetic council was called, Saint Maximilian was showing the mystical body of Christ how it was to be lived out. And there are two core principles by which Saint Maximilian bases the life of the soul. First and foremost, he said, we must understand that Our Lady is the mediatrix of all grace, and so no soul can come to God without the intercession of the Mother of God, and that our growth in the spiritual life depends on our closeness, our nearness to the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God. For Saint Maximilian understood full well that God gives all souls sufficient grace to be saved. But if those graces are rejected, they are rejected because the soul is not close to the Mother of God. And so, first and foremost, we must truly believe in the depths of our heart that Our Lady is the mediatrix of all grace. He would further point out that the soul goes with Mary to Christ. It does not go from Mary to Christ. Indeed, that he would say of Our Lady, she was an end in herself. We give ourselves to her by total consecration, and then we go with her to Christ, for she is the one who presents us to Christ as our Lord was presented to the Eternal Father by the Mother of God himself. And so we must strive always and everywhere in our day and in our times to understand these most profound mysteries that were so prevalent in the life of Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe. For he knew and he understood full well that as members of the mystical body, each and every one of us must be what he would call an effective converter, that is, an effective missionary, and that insofar as we are effective, that is, cooperating with the Mother of God in her mission to bring mercy and salvation to all souls, insofar as we are effective will depend upon our devotion to the Mother of God herself. And so we must constantly rededicate ourselves each and every day of our lives, seeking from Our Lady the graces by which we are constantly undergoing our own conversion, that is, growing closer and closer to her each and every day of our life. And he pointed out that all missionary activity must be an activity that promotes knowledge, love, and devotion to the Mother of God. For Mary will work great wonders, St. Maximilian would point out, if we use her name and her influence to effect that which the world is so much in need. And indeed, St. Maximilian shows himself to be a perfect interpreter of St. Francis of Assisi, who pointed out, when the hearts of men have grown cold, and indeed, in our day and in our age, they have grown cold, primarily through the vices of lust and of greed, St. Francis would point out that it is only a mother who can rekindle the fires of charity when they have grown cold through these vices. And so, St. Maximilian would take that principle of his father, St. Francis, and apply it to our modern day, in our modern age. Indeed, he had visions of brothers manning airports, constantly delivering the word of the Immaculate to the world, so that the world may go to Christ with Mary. And so he would establish a militia of the Immaculate, that is, an army of the Immaculate, and he would point out that at all moments Our Lady is gathering her forces to counter the forces of evil, with one difference: her forces are always and everywhere victorious. For Saint Maximilian did not, as it were, suffer defeat in his death, but rather he suffered the ultimate. He underwent the ultimate victory. For in giving his life as a victim of charity for Mr. Gajaniček, that is, taking his place in the starvation bunker, Saint Maximilian showed himself a true apostle of charity, and he went not simply so that those who went with him would persevere and not die of despair. But St. Maximilian went into the bunker also to influence the enemies of Holy Mother Church, for he knew full well that periodically a soldier would be sent in order to take the bucket that would catch the refuge from those entrapped in that tomb, that living death by which they underwent the agonizing death of starvation. And indeed, St. Maximilian would have great influence, for many soldiers at one point would refuse to go in and do the work they were commanded to do because they realized it was a violation of charity, and they too would be willing to die rather than to deny their faith. When Pope John Paul II came out of that starvation bunker at Auschwitz, he declared that if Christ were alive today, this is where he would be crucified. And in doing so, he pointed out that St. Maximilian was truly Christ crucified in our day and in our age. And so, let us strive, as we see very clearly the signs that Satan wishes to entrap all human beings in a concentration camp, that is, our modern society is not geared toward the love of Christ or towards charity, but it seems to be geared towards that hatred alone which the devil manifests for all souls, that hatred that will always and everywhere be counted by Holy Mother Church, for she and she alone has been entrusted with the mission to bring the good news to all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so let us turn to those saints who particularly show us the way, especially those saints who, in anticipating the Second Vatican Council, saw the great evangelical activity that it would unleash in our modern day and in our modern age. Indeed, in a certain way, it has freed us until the end of time, that under the mantle of the Immaculate, we may go, to borrow the expression of one of our modern shows, that was not a show that ultimately glorified God, but rather a show that glorified mankind separated from God. Let us remember always that as members of the Church, we and we alone boldly go where no man has gone before, or rather, more especially, we go where one man has gone before, that is, the Christ. For he went everywhere. He did not fear the sinners, but rather, he sat down with them, he ate with them, he talked with them, and ultimately, he drew many of them to the love of God the Father, back to that love that all mankind is called to embrace. the love of the one who brought us into existence out of nothing, sent his Son in order that he may die to reclaim us for himself, and ultimately, through his Son, bequeath to us the greatest gift, that is, the Mother of God, because she is the Mother of Christ, the blessed and ever immaculate Virgin Mary. And so, let us strive always not to fear the false philosophies of this world, for they will always be overcome by the love of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. And so, Saint Maximilian ultimately would literally have his life snuffed out, and he would be burned in the fires of Auschwitz. But those fires of Auschwitz were not the fires of hell, and ultimately they were the means by which this great soul would be claimed for the kingdom that he labored so earnestly for on this earth, the kingdom of God. And so let us strive always and everywhere to seek that gift that has truly been given to the church, consecrating ourselves to the Mother of God and letting her use us as her property and possession to go forth and to conquer all souls for the kingdom of Christ in the manner that St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe shows us. He was wont to go out and engage many souls in conversation. Indeed, many times coming off the subway train, St. Maximilian would be engaged with tens and twenties and thirties of people, and ultimately, upon leaving, those souls were all drawn closer to Christ because they were left in the hands of the Immaculate by St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, and we too must leave ourselves in the hands of the Immaculate so that she may use us to do the same, to go forth and try with every fiber of our being to get souls to embrace the love of the Immaculate so that they may have the blindness of this modern age removed and that they may come to know, love, and serve God in this life in order to be happy with him for all eternity in the life to come. And that cannot happen when we have our minds and our hearts set on the pleasures and the riches of this world, but rather let us strive to use all things that God has given us in order to build not monuments to the modern age or the modern era, but rather monuments to that which is most important. Martin was wont to point out that the modern age is noted by a characteristic which he called a vulgarity. He defined it as putting little things in big places, and he gave an example, a very profound example. Often we drive down the highway and we see billboards, and Chesterton would say, "There you have it. In a place big enough to honor a saint, we are told that we must buy toothpaste or soap or something like that. Little things in big places." So literally, let us pray that these places may become monuments to the saints of Almighty God, so that we are always reminded as we go about our business that we are called not for happiness or pleasure in this life, but rather for happiness and pleasure in the life to come, and that can only be accomplished through a life of prayer and penance, always being profoundly aware that as members of the mystical body, we must be involved in the missionary activity of the church, as St. Maximilian was so wont to instruct all the brothers that they too were called to conquer all souls for the kingdom of Christ by entrusting them to the care of the Immaculate Virgin in this life, so that protected under her mantle, they may gain eternal life in the life to come.